Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Carl Mack and this is Combat Chronicles. Just going to talk about one fight today, which is the big, big fight. Don't believe the hype, not the biggest Muay Thai fight of the last 50 years. Nothing like that. But a fucking big fight from ONE Championship this past week. Rod Sang versus Superlek. Hear my thoughts on the fight. Hear my thoughts on the scorecards. Hear my thoughts on the backlash. On the fallout. Here on this feed. But if you want to hear about this fight and more, head on over to the Combat Chronicles Patreon. www.patreon.com/combatchronicles. Over there I'm talking about the Joyce Zhang rematch. I'm talking about Kenshiro. Talking about Tenshin Nasukawa. Talking about Grasso Shevchenko 2, talk about Jack Della Maddalena, and talk about Gamrot versus Fazeev, all on the Patreon, as well as this. But for you guys that listen on this feed, here it is, Rod Sang versus Superlek.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, after three rounds of battle, we turn now to the judges' scorecards. All three judges have scored this contest in favor of your winner, by unanimous decision, Superlek!
The kicking machine, Superlek, prevails in the biggest fight of the last 50 years, picking up the unanimous decision victory over the Iron Man, Rod Tang.
Yeah, Superlek prevailing over Rod Tang by 3-round decision. The notion this week that this is the biggest Muay Thai fight in 50 years is just, you know, all got to say to that is
my ass.
My ass indeed. So this is a big mega fight over at ONE Championship. And my God, millions of views already. Lots of people talking about it. Lots of buzz about it. I've said it a million times. Chatree, if you're listening, I know you're not. If someone's listening, pass the message on. Fucking ditch MMA, ditch grappling, just crack on with 4-ounce striking. Now, not sure how much longer you can have these guys, but it's clear to see that you've got the market share now that you can build any up you want. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you're gonna get another Rod Tang. You're gonna get another Rod Tang. There's so many quality fighters out in Thailand, and you know, becoming more and more international now. You're gonna get another Rod Tang, and you've got Takaru there. Rod Tang's still fighting. I mean, Superlek, and we'll talk about this in a second, might be on his way out. And that's what made this build-up so fucking annoying and then special and then annoying again. You know, Rod Tang telling Takaru, you've got to prove yourself. Rod Tang saying, you shouldn't be fighting other ties. Rod Tang taking on fights against lesser opposition, a showcase bounce. It's not just on him, it's on ONE Championship too. And then finally the fight with Superlek happens and Superlek doesn't make weight, and that's not his first offence, not even in the last calendar year, I don't think. Miss weight, talking about how he's got a lot of respect for Rod Tang, and then talking about how he doesn't really like fighting anymore, and it just took the edge off the fight, and then the fight itself happens, and yes, it's at a catch weight of 140 pounds, Superlek does look significantly larger. Yes, it's 3 rounds, it's not for the title. They pack so much in the 3 rounds that basically no one walks away disappointed. And how fucking mad is that? So let's talk about the fight itself. Actually, let's talk a little bit more about the build-up, because one thing I noted online was, Twitter, is that if these boys couldn't get up for ONE Championship money, we've got no fucking chance of them getting up for stadium money. So this idea that, you know, one championship's ruining the stadium fighting and whatnot, these boys have been fighting for fucking years, you know. We're seeing, I guess, due to one science, one nutrition, etc., that Muay Thai guys, whereas typically they're always well past their best, sort of in their sort of early to mid-20s, these guys are now cracking on for a little bit longer than that, which is great. One championship gives them an avenue to make money in the twilight of their careers, gives them an avenue to make money in the prime of their careers, gives them an avenue to fight Farang fighters, just as they did before. Usually, you know, you do the stadium circuit, then you fuck off and fight internationally. You don't cut weight anymore, but you're fighting significantly larger guys that are in their prime that do. But due to the superior technique and the wide gap between Thais and international fighters, you'd still give them a pasting. Now we're seeing Thais fighting each other past the prime. I think Supalek and Rogtang are still really very much in their prime, or near enough to it that if they're going to fight each other, they're still going to have a fantastic fight. Near enough to it, they can still take on foreigners and smash them with ease, especially the kind of foreigners that Rogtang's been fighting recently. So one championship is good for that. If these guys were fighting for stadium money, it's very clear that we probably wouldn't have got this fight. So in that regard, if you still want to see these super fights, if you still think there's unfinished business from the stadiums, one championship's got the best chance of making those fights happen, given the money that's floating around there. And as I say, given the comments from both guys, you think they would have chucked the 4-ounce gloves on? You think they would have chucked the 8-ounce gloves on and fought in the stadiums at this time in their careers? I think that's very, very, very unlikely. So the Muay Thai purists out there, and I get it, as I said earlier, I very much used to be one myself, that either don't like the rule set, don't like the scoring set, the scoring criteria, don't like the fact that these guys are not fighting in the stadiums anymore. I think you sort of need to take a step back and say, would they be fighting each other if it wasn't for this? And I think it's pretty clear to say that in this instance, given the noise from both guys in the run-up to this fight, I think it's very clear to see that we wouldn't even be having this fight if it wasn't for one championship. So take what you can. You need to take a look at the bigger picture here. I'm sorry to say, yeah, it's not the stadium Muay Thai you know and love, but there were guys who watched Muay Thai in the golden age. You didn't like the stadium Muay Thai we had in the last 10, 15 years. Didn't like the, you know, the weighted towards clinch scoring. Didn't like the weighted towards the fourth round scoring. Thought that, you know, we got better fights in the golden age. You're not special, okay? The old heads didn't like the Muay Thai we got. We pushed back against it. And now you're the old head pushing back against what one championship has given us. And I don't think one championship is perfect by any means. But yes, this is just a different form of fighting. I think people would, I hate to say I'm fucking like a broken record, but I think people will get less annoyed if they stop calling it 4-ounce Muay Thai. Just call it 4-ounce striking. Basically, you're getting guys from Muay Thai, guys from kickboxing, guys from wherever, and they're fighting in a new sport. And I think people would still get annoyed that, oh, they're taking the best guys away from stadium Muay Thai, and, you know, they're not going to want to fight the stadiums anymore in the Muay Thai that I like. But at the end of the day, I think it's, as I say, for someone like Rotang West Super late, you wouldn't have got it anyway. So pull your head out of your ass a little bit. These are mates of mine I'm talking about here, but, you know, there's some people I don't follow that I'm not mutuals with, who are very fucking annoying when it comes to shit like this. And all I can say is, if one championship were willing to pay your misses, you wouldn't be fucking moaning. Fact. The fight itself was fantastic. Balls to the wall for the whole fucking 9 minutes. It would have been great if it was a 5-round fight. We're going to talk about the fight and then talk about the fallout from the fight, which is just absolutely baffling to me from both sides of the spectrum. I think a lot of my fucking mates may have a word for themselves as well. But let's talk about the fight. Balls to the wall. Suplex straight away, just showing how much of a superior kicker he is, especially with leg kicks. Rotang's inside leg kick was not insistent enough, it was not impactful enough. Suplex's ability to get underneath Rotang's punches and clip him with the elbow was awesome. You know, Suplex is the great all-rounder. Brilliant defensive fighter, great kicker, great range fighter, and then when he wants to turn it up, he's just fantastic as well, obviously. Brilliant elbow fighter as well. Suplex done his usual thing. Really was turning it up on Rotang. Rotang was trying to pressure him back. I think the problem, and we'll talk about the rounds as we go, we'll talk about the general issue of people's interpretation of the fight afterwards, at least how I perceive it to be, because I just, there seems to be no one just hitting it straight down the middle, and you need to hit it down the middle for this particular fight and this particular rule set and this particular fan base. But I think there's so much agenda that people can't really see the fight clearly for what it is. And Superlek was clearly landing the better kicks, clearly landing the better knees, even in the first round. But this idea that Rodsey only landed one elbow, he clearly landed more than one elbow, he clearly landed some good punches, clearly landed, was able to grab Superlek's kick and punch off of it. Superlek's a really good defensive fighter, so it's not as clear as Rodsey grabbed the kick and punched off it, therefore he wins. If this was under stadium, if this is some sort of one-off, four-ounce, three-round stadium fight, Rodsey would have won. He dumped Superlek in the clinch a couple of times in the third round and once in the first round. As I say, Superlek's counters were more impressive, but there was moments where Rodsey was able to counter him. There were moments where Rodsey was able to frame off and create enough space to land short elbows in the clinch. But in the first round, the round we'll talk about now, it was the up elbow which busted Superlek open. That would have won in the round, 100%. Let's talk more about the interpretation of the fight as we go on. Second round, Superlek made a great adjustment. Seemed to sort of be able to hand fight Rodsey more and get wrist control. Being the longer, taller guy, he was able to then gauge what Rodsey was going to do and was able to frame off himself, either land kicks, land knees as Rodsey come in, or just push him back. And if he's pushing him back, he's stopping Rodsey doing what he's good at, which is come forward under a barrage of punches, pressure fighting, working his way in to hit him with the elbow. So Superlek is able to command range, dictate pace, dictate range in that second round, and then, as we say, pushing him back, knocking him off balance, and then catching Rodsey with an elbow, bundling him over. I think Rodsey definitely turned his back on him. It's kind of a bit of balance, bit of the elbow. Rodsey definitely cowered from him a little bit, and I think the knockdown was absolutely justified. Big 10-8 round for Superlek in that second round. More dominant round. Yeah, Rodsey still had his moments. So them short elbows and some punches as well. But Superlek landed definitely the quality shots in that round, especially with his kicks, as I say. Controlling the wrists and then banging him in knees to the body as well. Just dominated him in the clinch, really, in that round. Rod Tank still had his moment, so it was competitive, 100%. Third round, Superlek looked really ropey to me. It's a really close round, a scrappy round. Rod Tank was a pressure fighter. I think due to the OEs in the crowd in Lumpini Stadium, I think that's what it might have appeared to the layman, that Rod Tank was doing a lot of the better work. But Superlek was taking the edge off the punches and landing good work in the clinch himself. Again, his knees were probably the most impactful shots in that round, but he was ropey and Rodsey was dumping him in the clinch. Now, that actually isn't important to scoring in one. That's absolutely fine. But I think in terms of the optics, Superlek just didn't look particularly great. And, you know, Rodsey was coming forward and pressuring. That was a scrappy, tough-to-score round. Superlek wins the fight by decision, and justifiably so. But I think people are now falling over themselves, at least from the circle that I run with. And as I say, there are people outside of my circle that I see my mates interacting with and whatnot. They're now running with this idea that this fight was not at all competitive in terms of the scoring. There's been people falling over themselves to justify the scoring criteria in a certain way. We're going to look at the scoring criteria in a second. They can't do with Superlek winning a close and competitive decision. They can't deal with Superlek winning a competitive decision. I saw online someone I really respect say this was a clear 30-26. Yeah, the 10-8's there for Superlek, but a clear 30-26. Clear anything after that first and third round. Do you think either of them are clear? Have a word with yourself. There's nothing clear about those rounds. Nothing. It's fact. Come on the podcast and fucking talk about it if you want. There's nothing clear about those rounds. They were competitive rounds. Second round clear, absolutely. No draws in one, so Superlek wins the fight. Say third round was close and then he won the second round. I think he could have easily won the first round. Easily. It could be a clear 30-28. It could be, sorry, on the scorecards, he could have clearly won 30-26. But it's not a clear 30-26. Any idea that first or third round are really clear? Oh yeah, I looked at it with a magnifying glass. Don't worry, guys, I got this. Superlek clearly won. There's absolutely no debate whatsoever that Rodsey could have at all won round one. one of my closest mates, Ryan Wagner, said, you know, and I think he's the best analyst in the game. I said it on this podcast many times, but he said, you know, looking at one's scoring, you know, it says on there that superficial damage is part of the criteria. But Ryan's interpretation, I think actually you mean brain damage or, you know, internal damage. I don't think there's anything in the scoring criteria that says that. That elbow in the first round that completely fucking busted Superlek up was really significant to the scoring. And actually, the idea that I've seen from other people, that the only thing Rod Tang did in round one was land one elbow, is also patently false. Then you've got the casual saying Rod Tang was robbed. Also fucking off the head, mental. Can we not meet in the middle, guys? Can we not demand better of ourselves? You could say, yes, Superlek did X, Y and Z, and that's why he deserved to win the fight, or showed superiority outside of round scoring. You know, we can see, you know, his avenue to win clearer if he was in better shape, or we can just see that based on his, you know, his kicks and the fact he was able to control Rod Tang at range and get a really good gauge for him, once he'd made that adjustment, that we can see he was his clear superior. It's absolutely fine. But the idea now to say that Rod Tang did, you cannot even argue that he could have won a share of rounds, or even that you could not perceive why someone might see the first and the third round to him, is snobbery. It's fucking snobbery. Moshe, you know, I've been covering fucking Muay Thai longer than you've been out of single digits. So don't take the high road with me. I'm more of a Superlek fan than a Rod Tang fan. I've been on this podcast saying for ages, Rod Tang is, you know, he needs to fight his Thai contemporaries. He's dodging the top fights. Now he takes the big fight, and we want to say, yeah, well done, Rod Tang. You were competitive, but there's absolutely no way you won a round. I'm even going to jimmy the fucking scoring criteria to justify me saying, no, Superlek's so far above him that, listen, casuals, we win, okay? We've definitely won. No, he didn't make weight. He looked like he could have done, quite frankly. The fight was more competitive than a lot of people had it out to be going into it. And now you want to say, actually, I'm still right because there's absolutely no way Rod Tang even won a share of one of these rounds. Bullshit. Bullshit. The first round, Rod Tang did do more than land one elbow. He did land a really significant strike. That's not kick erasure like people want to make it to be. We cannot say, oh, actually, the scoring criteria does mean hard kicks. Yeah, that's really, those kicks were the most significant. They're the ones that score. Or a Superlek landed some elbows too, you know. That fucking first round was really competitive and that third round was messy, okay? Don't turn your nose up at casuals and don't turn your nose up at your peers and basically say, guys, if you don't see it exactly the same way as me, you're wrong. There's definitely an avenue in this fight where we can say that Rod Tang might have won one round, whether it was the first or the third. There's definitely an avenue where Superlek won all three rounds and won the fight by 4 points. But to act that this isn't an opportunity to talk about the scorecards, that anything other than Superlek supremacy, anyone looking at Rod Tang's work and deeming it worthy of winning a round as a casual, we've got to do better, guys. We've got to do better than that. This was a competitive fight. I saw straight afterwards, you know, Superlek, the fucking best ever. Superlek, told you Superlek was the best. He didn't fucking make weight, and he looked way worse than you thought he was going to. Don't fucking give it the large one now. You've got to take a step back and go, that fight was really competitive. Rod Tang did better than I thought he was going to. He did better than I thought he was going to. I thought he was on borrowed time. I thought he was had his foot out the door, to be honest with you. Rod Tang can still go. Okay, and Rod Tang took a fucking catchweight fight at 140 pounds against a guy who's his technical superior, who's larger than him, and he took it at fucking 24 hours notice, and he did that in a fight. I would say fair play to him. To most of the MT crowd's credit and the striking crowd's credit, people were saying fair play to Rod Tang, and I'm well up for that. But I just don't really understand why we can't admit that there's an avenue to Rod Tang winning a round, and there's even a Rod Tang way of scoring in the fight. I don't think he won it, but to sort of turn your nose up at people and just act like they're fucking idiots if they don't see that that third round was scrappy and that first round was competitive. I just don't get what you're doing. I just don't understand it. I don't think Rod Sand could beat Superleg in a rematch. I don't think they're going to do it anyway. I do think that maybe Superleg has got his foot out of the door based on his recent comments. Maybe this fight will revitalise him. I'm sure people will love to see it again. I'm sure one are going to throw money at him. But I think Superleg needs to make weight for the next one. It needs to be five rounds. If something's going on and that's why he didn't make weight, I get it. But if he fucking struggles to make weight and Rod Tang's still there at the end of three rounds, you might see a different fight. Are people going to admit that, even? Are people going to admit that over five rounds, if Superlek was carrying on as he was at the end of that third round, he looked quite tired? Are we going to act like there's absolutely no way that Rod Tang could beat him in a rematch? I don't think he could on a technical level, but you know, just based on the intangibles, he looked like he was still bang up for it for me, walking forward, pressuring him, and there's definitely an avenue to him, to Superlek unravelling, if he's not what we know him to be. If he has got one foot out of the door, if he just really is going to struggle making anywhere near like 135 nowadays, you know, then maybe he needs to go to Rajadam Nern and go on the circuit there, because this 4 ounce Muay Thai seems pretty forgiving at the level you're expected to fight. You know, I agree with most of the guys out there that, you know, one is putting impetus on knockouts, finishes and aggression, in the way that stadium gambling was always putting impetus on a slow start, building to a crescendo and then taking the fifth round off. Again, this is a different sport, and Rod Tang seems built for it. And Superlek, I think, as I say, I think I had him winning 2-1. If you were going to have draws, then you know a draw would be absolutely justifiable. If you really squint, you could definitely see a Rod Tang win. What we got was a really fucking competitive fight, more competitive than I thought it was going to be. And after fight week, just so happy that it went how it did, because I thought, well, we might get a bit of a sparring match here, or we might get a bit of a Superlek might look a bit too ropey here. No, we got a fucking war that actually exceeded my expectations. And was it the fight of the year? It's going to be up there at the end of the year when we come to the 2023 Combat Chronicles End of Year Awards, 100%. Fucking brilliant stuff. Just so much fun. Really fucking violent. Vast array of techniques on display. As I say, mid-fight adjustments, even over 9 minutes. Superlek making the adjustment to control Rod Tang and then corral him, force him back to the ropes and fucking dropping that elbow. I thought he'd stopped him. And Rod Tang jumping up and giving it the whole, oh shucks, there's no way he dropped me. That's just him all over, isn't it? Jimmy, he is a fucking Iron Man. And both guys showed why we think of them as modern greats. I don't think Rod Tang is an all-time great by any means, but certainly he's probably the biggest star to come out of Muay Thai, or sort of biggest... that's not right. I'd say he's the most well-known name that I've come across for anyone for Muay Thai since Ramon Dekkers. I think people talk about him... a wider audience know him in a way that I haven't seen since, you know, people talk about Dekkers on the forum. The fact it's a Thai doing it, of course, Buakaw was a big name, but that was more in kickboxing, although of course, you know, such a big name that people had always gone about him being a Muay Thai great. So Rod Tang is the biggest Thai to a casual, or that's not fair, to a wider audience than Buakaw, but in pure Muay Thai or anything approaching Muay Thai, the science of eight limbs and not kickboxing, I think he's the biggest name since Dekkers. Let me know in the comments if I'm forgetting someone obvious. Me again in real time. Comments, of course, I'm suggesting to my patrons to hit me up in the replies on the Patreon post. You can do that if you sign up, or hit me up over on Twitter at CombatCR, over at Blue Sky at Combat Chronicles, at Instagram at Combat Chronicles Pod. Let me know your thoughts. Do you agree with me? Do you think it was competitive enough to at least warrant Rod Tang one of the rounds? Do you think that Superlek justifiably won the decision? Do you see where Superlek made that adjustment that allowed him to get the upper hand on Rod Tang and stop him pressuring him relentlessly as he was in the first round? Or do you think, no, Kyle, you're wrong. Superlek pissed that fight. He won very, very easily. And you're wrong for even daring to make the argument that he didn't. Hit me up. Tell me any of those things. I don't care. I'm up for the discussion, up for the debate. Most importantly, I hope you enjoyed this episode. There'll be another one coming soon. More interesting stuff coming to the Patreon. Hate to keep banging the drum for it, but really, there's a lot of good content over there. It's not the only good content. You guys are getting some too, but I hope you like this one. Hopefully, you decide to go and take a look at the exclusive content over there. But there are other ways to support the podcast if you don't. Leave a 5-star rating and review at your preferred podcast platform. It helps make it more visible to others. Hopefully they can get in the community talking about fights with us, because that's what we want to do, right? We want to discuss these fights. So until the next fights we discuss, thanks for listening. Appreciate your support. Peace out for now, eh?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.